breakfast. ABC Radio WM. And as well as all of that, there's a lot of talk about menopause at the moment, which is really good. I've never had this much discussion about menopause before, and I think there needs to be more conversation about it. Today is World Menopause Day. Kay is 56 and from Aldridge, and she's been sharing her experience with us as well.
As I turned 50, my life seemed to go into free fall, both mentally and physically. I had the most awful brain fog. I couldn't function. I had to write everything down and was finding it really hard functioning my working life, which was getting more and more difficult. I work in human resources, and at no point did I ever think I was in menopause, as I still had periods. My symptoms got worse when gynaecology decided I needed prostrap injections to force me into menopause because I was still having periods at 53. My periods stopped, and almost immediately I ended up with hot flushes, severe bone pain like I never imagined.
Wow, and that just shows like the massive impact that this has on women's lives, and that we're not talking about it enough. Again, I'm opening up the phone lines just like Kay has done, on 08081 009956 to give a call, because we need to talk more about this, especially in the workplace as well. So our Birmingham-based charity, Services for Education, is believed to be one of the first employees in the whole of the UK to introduce a menopause policy. I'm joined by Sharon Bell and Helen Brooks in the studio with me this morning. Morning, you two.
Morning.
My first question, I'll ask you first, Sharon. Tell us about the charity.
Yeah, so thank you. It's great to be here this morning. So Services for Education, we teach music across all the Birmingham schools. So all the instrumental and vocal teaching, teaching about 32,000 children week. That's one part of what we do. The other part of what we do is training and consultancy for school teachers and school leaders on a whole variety of subjects, including safeguarding, numeracy, literacy, and so on and so forth.
So why did the charity want to start doing this and create a menopause policy in the first place?
Because I think it's, as you've already said, it's a very natural part of a woman's experience. It's something that we need to start talking about, breaking down the taboos on it. We've got 56% of our colleagues are female. About 26% of them are in that 45 to 54 bracket. So it's something of importance to talk about. So if we can open up the conversation, create a supportive atmosphere, then that's got to be a good thing. And of course, the other side of that is equipping our line managers, male and female, to talk about it if that's helpful for somebody.
Now, you mentioned something there which is quite important, because someone could be listening to this, you know, and identifies as a man and thinking, this doesn't concern me, like, this is not my business, I've never had these conversations before. Why do you think then it is important for everyone to have these conversations?
Well, I think it's important because if someone is a man, they will have wives, friends, work colleagues who are female. And that is something that the people around them and close to them will be living with. So raising awareness hopefully helps them to encounter some of those conversations, if that's helpful.
Now, the policy, how does this work? Is it simple to understand how this works and how this helps people?
Well, Helen here has been one of the people that's been key alongside our HR department in writing that policy. And I think it's fair to say, isn't it, Helen, that it was all about making it very understandable and really increasing that understanding for people.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about bringing guidelines that are clear to understand, and especially for, I think, people who maybe don't know very much or didn't know very much about menopause and what that meant and the impact it could have. So I think it was about raising the issue, bringing it sort of to light, as Sharon said, breaking that taboo really and making it something that people are comfortable to talk about, and actually meaning that then our line managers, both male and female, can support the people that they look after, the colleagues that we have out every day teaching in schools. So it's very much about just drawing up guidelines, drawing up guidance, having links that people could find out more about what it actually means to be going through the perimenopause and into menopause.
And I'll stay with you, Helen, for a moment. How has it been then since this has been brought in? Has everyone kind of warmed to this? Has it been quite challenging?
I think that actually, as soon as the policy was announced and that people knew that we were working on it, the comments were really, really positive, actually, both from women who had already gone through that transitional phase, but also from women who are starting that sort of journey. And I think the fact that it was something that was now on the agenda, was being spoken about quite openly in meetings, whether it was just referencing the policy or talking about work around it. So actually, it has allowed more open conversation. And I think, just as we would talk about, I suppose you could liken it to mental health, really. I think we talk about mental health in a far more open and honest way now. And that's really where we're moving towards with menopause and the impact that it can have on women, both in the workplace and also in their private lives as well.
And Sharon mentioned about the sort of the gender balance, and there being larger amounts of staff who are women. So 60%. Is this then like a game changer for businesses, do you think?
I think that what we've seen is that women have, through the impact of menopause, probably had to step down from more senior roles. So we talk about wanting to see more women holding senior positions, but actually at the point at which menopause, perimenopause can impact, that probably is at that time of life for women, and sometimes it's been necessary for them to step down. I think that actually, in terms of, as Sharon touched on, for men, in terms of supporting, you know, the women in their lives, whether it's female work colleagues, whether it's family, that actually just an understanding of how that impacts their working life, I think, is really important, and actually will then help to sustain those numbers going through. So we see that, you know, we see that balance of men and women in the workplace.
Yeah, and there's something in that, isn't there, Sharon, about, you know, not only men being educated about what's happening, but also being educated to then be able to help somebody
absolutely.
Else.
Absolutely, yeah, because the colleague in question will choose to talk to whoever she feels more comfortable with. That may be her line manager, who is male or female, that might be someone else. So it's about educating. It's also about educating females as well, because, you know, earlier on in their career, understanding the symptoms somebody might go through. I think the other thing that the British Menopause Society are raising awareness of today is very much how it's not one size fits all. So one in four women will have very severe symptoms, one in five may not have any symptoms at all, and of course there's everything in between on that as well. So I think the one size not fitting all thing is really important to remember.
Absolutely, because just a moment ago we heard from Kate as an example, in her early 50s, you know, was still having a period and had to have an injection in order to stop. Mm-hmm. Like, so these are very different ranges of experiences and stories, which you're hoping people are comfortable enough to have open discussions about.
Absolutely, and I'm very aware that all of our colleagues are in very different work situations every day. So we have teachers out and about in schools. You obviously can't leave a child in a classroom at that point. We've got colleagues working at home. That might be a little bit easier to deal with some of these things, and again, everything in between. So yeah, it does differ.
Helen, how proud of you then to be able to work for a company who is kind of doing this, which is kind of, I guess, a game-changing thing, and doing something which is very unique and quite special?
I think that actually I'm really proud to have colleagues and an organisation that embrace this and really took it on board and sort of ran with it and to put things in place. And I think the support that we've got for our female colleagues who are out in the field teaching on a day-to-day basis, both practical support but also emotional support as well. I think it's absolutely vital, and I think it's all about getting the information out there so that women can make an informed choice about what's right, what's right for them.
Absolutely.
And hopefully our conversations will help that.
And Sharon, my last question, do you think more businesses should do the same?
Absolutely, and we're really happy to talk to anybody that wants to work through what that might look like in their organisation.
Awesome. Thank you both so much for coming through and talking to me about this.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you both so much. Again, the phone lines are open for you. We've had some people calling.